A Good Education by Arsda, read by Sophie. A men's hockey RPF fanfiction featuring the relationship Danny Brière-Claude Giroux. Rating explicit and additional tags for future fic and canon divergence. Summary. With two of his kids out of the house and nothing else to keep him busy in retirement, Danny goes to college. He makes friends with some of his classmates, and that thing where he sometimes hooks up with Claude turns into a real relationship. Claude calls from the road. Danny knows it's from the road because even though he's not playing anymore, he's still in the habit of knowing the schedule. Given the time, Claude has to be in the hotel post-nap, pre-dinner, that time when everyone tries to figure out what they're going to do with themselves.
Kaylin says you're filing out college applications too,
Claude says. Danny looks at his laptop screen, where the blinking cursor in the middle of what he's pretty sure is a terrible application essay seems to be taunting him.
Yes. Why?
Danny sighs. I need something to do. There is a very long silence that Danny thinks probably means Claude is trying to decide whether or not to laugh at him.
The boys are all busy, Danny says before Claude can make that decision. Most of the time, it's just me and the dogs. I'm bored.
Okay,
Claude says.
But why is cool?
Why not? It'll give me a chance to do something else with my life. Claude hums.
This is your midlife crisis, isn't it? Are you going to college so you can pick up on sorority girls?
Danny laughs. I'm not going to pick up anyone the same age as my boys. He looks at his essay. I might not even get in. I have to write an essay. I haven't written anything like this since high school.
You can do it,
Claude says.
I've seen the Marcel Robert flag on your wall. You don't win that by being stupid.
Then he makes a face at his essay. I think I just have to start over.
Well,
Claude says,
it's a good thing you don't have anything else to do.
Danny laughs, and he feels better about opening a new document to start over when he hangs up.
I thought you weren't going to school until next year,
Claude says when Danny answers the phone. Hi, Claude, Danny says. How are you? Claude ignores that.
Why are you taking classes now?
Danny read over the admission requirements and the curriculum for every program he applied to, and what that made clear to him is that he needs to do a little catch-up work before he starts school. He tells Claude as much, and it's only one class.
That's not what Carson made it sound like.
Carson doesn't even live here, Danny points out. It's just one calculus class. I took it in high school, but I need a refresher so I'm not behind next year.
I agree with the boys,
Claude says.
I can't believe you're going to school for fun.
Danny shrugs, even though Claude can see him. It's what I want to do.
Are you having fun?
Danny looks over at where his calculus book is sitting on the table. Not fun like a party, but fun like working hard for hockey was fun.
Do you miss it?
Claude asks after a moment. Yes, Danny says without needing to think about it. Of course I do.
Maybe you can join an intramural team when you're in school,
Claude says. Danny laughs. I don't know that I want to try and keep up with college kids.
They wouldn't be able to keep up with you,
Claude says. He might have a point. Danny hums and then says,
I have to worry about getting in first.
You'll get in,
Claude says. He can't possibly know anything about college admissions, but Danny appreciates his easy confidence anyway. At least somewhere, Danny says.
Everywhere,
Claude predicts.
They'd be stupid not to want you.
Danny smiles and wishes Claude were there so he could hug him for that. He settles for saying, thank you. Danny gets in everywhere he applies.
Of course you did,
Claude says when he calls from the road to ask about it.
Do you know where you're going?
I have to wait for Kaelin to decide first. That was the promise Danny made, that even if he and Kaelin applied to the same schools, and they did, because in December, Kaelin's girlfriend thought she might want to go to Bryn Mawr, and Kaelin wasn't sure he wanted to go away to school if she stayed. Kaelin would get first pick, and Danny would go somewhere else.
Congratulations, anyway,
Claude says.
We should go out to dinner to celebrate when I get back.
Yeah, Danny says. That sounds good. When Claude gets back, he takes Danny, Kaelin, and Cameron out to dinner, which is more of a feat than it seems with a pair of teenage boys who have conflicting schedules. They make time for Claude, though, more than they usually do for Danny. What about you, eh? Claude asks Kaelin. Do you know where you're going? Kaelin looks at Danny before he answers. Alexis and I decided we're going to UCLA. Danny wrote the checks for the application fees. He knew that this was a possibility. It's still a surprise, the way his heart clenches at the thought of it. It shouldn't be that hard since Carson's also out of the house, but LA is a lot farther than Kitchener. Do they have hockey? Cameron asks before anyone else can say anything. It's not NCAA, Kaelin says, but they have hockey. I talked to the coach. He shrugs. I'm not going pro, so it doesn't matter. You get your pick of schools, Claude says to Danny. Where are you going? You're sure about UCLA? Danny asks Kaelin. Yes. Alexis already paid her registration deposit. Kaelin shifts a little. I was waiting to tell you and Mom. Danny nods. You have to tell your mom, and then we'll take care of all the stuff. Then he turns to Claude and says, Wharton. And then when Claude doesn't look like he knows what Danny's talking about, the business school at Penn. Ivy League, Claude says. Impressive. I can't believe you're going to school for fun, Cameron says. I don't want to go to school now. When you're 17, Danny says, we can talk about whether or not your future involves school. For now, you don't have a choice. Danny's at the kitchen table, dogs flopped at his feet, staring down an integral that just won't make sense when Claude shows up unannounced. In the kitchen, because it was easier on everybody if he just kept a key. Wow, you're taking this seriously. Claude rubs his thumb over Danny's forehead, where it's no doubt crease from frowning at his problem set. Danny turns his cowl on Claude. If I don't pass that class, I have to take it all over again when I start Wharton. Claude says, you're the one who wanted to go back to school. This is what you get for it. And then, want to fuck? Without any transition. Danny looks at him and looks at his problem set. It's tempting. Come on, Claude says. You can work on this later. A break might help. Danny laughs. You're only saying that because you want to fuck. Claude grins at him and shrugs unrepentantly. It might help anyway. Get your mind on something else. Your pickup lines are terrible. Claude grabs at the front of his shirt, and Danny lets himself be pulled off his chair. They always work on you. Claude doesn't let go until they get to the stairs, and even then he just herds Danny up the stairs in front of him. Are you looking at my ass, or are you trying to keep me from going back to my homework? Both, Claude says. Your ass is still great even though you're retired. That's why you come over for sex. Aren't booty calls supposed to involve an actual call? Danny closes his bedroom door behind them. They shouldn't get disturbed, but enough people have keys to his house that it's better to be safe than sorry.
It's 10:30 on a Tuesday morning, Claude says. You work out earlier, the boys are in school, and your class is Monday, Wednesday, Friday. I knew you wouldn't be busy.
I might not have wanted to fuck. Claude laughs, and his hands settle on Danny's skin, sliding up under his shirt.
You always do when it's me.
One of his hands leaves Danny's side to touch his lips. I've been thinking about your mouth. Danny pulls him farther into the room.
I'm not getting on my knees. I'm too old for that.
Claude laughs, but he doesn't try and stop Claude from pulling him all the way to the bed. Danny sits on the edge of the bed, legs apart so Claude can step between them. Claude undoes his fly, but Danny helps him push his jeans and boxer briefs down. Claude's already hard, and Danny tilts his head up to look at him.
I told you I've been thinking about your mouth.
Claude rests his fingers against Danny's lips. Danny takes that as a cue and opens his mouth to suck on them for the few seconds before Claude makes a strangled noise and pulls them away. Danny smirks at Claude before he opens his mouth for Claude's cock. He knows he's good at this, but he still likes hearing Claude moan and say, Danny, your mouth. Danny doesn't try to drag it out, because if Claude's been thinking about his mouth, he's not going to last long anyway. And he doesn't. Chokes on Danny's name as he comes, and pets Danny's hair when he swallows.
Why are you still dressed?
Claude pushes Danny back, hands twisting a little in Danny's hair when Danny licks his cock the whole way.
I was busy.
Claude pulls on the hem of Danny's shirt. Danny lifts his arms to let Claude get it off him, and winces when Claude tosses it across the room.
We're having sex, Claude says. You can complain about me making a mess later. Take your cock out.
Danny does, not bothering to get all the way out of his clothes, and strokes himself.
Yeah, Claude says. That's it.
Danny stops, hands still curled around his cock, and looks at Claude.
Are you going to make me do all the work here?
Claude bends over and kisses him.
I like to watch.
But then he pushes at Danny's shoulder.
Scoot up and lie down. I'm not getting on my knees either.
Danny frowns, even as he moves, so he's lying on the bed.
Problems with them?
Claude rolls his eyes.
You really don't know how to do this, do you?
He kisses Danny again.
I'm just getting old.
Then it's Danny's turn to roll his eyes.
You're not even 30. Not sexy.
Claude kisses him, and again, and again, and he puts his hand on Danny's cock, stroking it in a loose grip that's not enough to get Danny off, but more than enough to make him forget about anything but sex. Danny doesn't realize how much it's turning him on until he asks,
Are you going to get me off? Or are you just teasing?
And it comes out in gasps.
I'm trying to make you only think about this.
I am, Danny promises. I really am. He puts his hand over Claude's, tightens their shared grip on his cock.
I thought you didn't want to do all the work.
Claude sounds maddeningly composed, and he looks down between them at their hands on Danny's cock, moving to Danny's rhythm now.
If you're not going to...
Claude kisses him, deep enough to leave him breathless, and then pulls their hands away and replaces them with his mouth. Danny groans and does his best not to thrust up into Claude's mouth. He does put his hands in Claude's hair and rub at his scalp, not quite holding Claude to his cock, but encouraging him to stay there. It's been a while since the last time they did this, but Claude still knows how he likes it. His cheeks hollow around Danny's cock, his tongue playing over it, his hands alternately running over Danny's thighs and cupping his balls. Danny tugs on Claude's hair when he gets close, as a warning more than anything else. Claude only sucks harder, rolls Danny's balls in one hand with the other spread out over his thigh. Danny comes with a low moan and runs his hands down to Claude's cheeks to feel them around him. Claude pulls off him with a slight pop. Good enough, old man. Danny's too wrung out to do anything more than flip him off. Claude chuckles. I guess so. He flops down next to Danny. It's nice. What happened to Kristen? Danny asks when it's been long enough that he can think again and remember there was a reason they hadn't done this in a while. She broke up with me, Claude sighs. She didn't like that I was traveling all the time. Danny pats his hip, the easiest part to reach, without moving. He knows about that one. And... Claude leans up on an elbow so he's looking down at Danny. She said she didn't want someone with so much emotional baggage. Do I even have emotional baggage? Danny hums. I always thought your long-time affair with plate suits left some damage. Oh, shut up. Claude flops back down. I don't have any baggage. I think it was just an excuse. At least you got laid out of it. Danny snorts. Did you really come over here just for sex? Sex, lunch, and a nap, Claude says through a yawn. I still don't cook, Danny reminds him. So we'll order in or go out. Claude turns onto his side, scrunches into the pillow so his nose is against Danny's cheek. Now be quiet. Naps are very important for NHL superstars. I still have homework to finish. Claude's arm drapes across Danny before he even finishes the sentence. You can do that later. The nap is an important part of your break. Danny says, you just hate to sleep alone after sex. But he doesn't get up. Maybe a nap will give his brain time to figure out the integrals from his problem set. Claude goes home to Ottawa when his season is over, and Carson comes home when his school year is over. Danny's summer means he has a house full of boys when they aren't with Sylvie, and he talks to Claude in texts and phone calls.
Best golf game of my summer, Claude says.
Can you really say that when it's only June? Danny asks.
At least I'm doing something. When was the last time you went golfing?
Yesterday. Danny grins into the phone when Claude doesn't have an answer for that. It's not all boredom and lying around here.
Plenty of time to do that when you're a college student.
I'm not sure that's exactly how it works.
What do I know? I got good at hockey, so I wouldn't have to go to college.
Danny laughs. What are you going to do when you retire?
Golf,
Claude says without hesitation. Danny laughs again. You can't golf all the time.
Watch me.
There's background noise, like Claude's moving around or opening cabinets or something.
What are you doing if you're not golfing?
Trying to pick out my classes for the fall.
I thought your program had a bunch of assigned things.
It does, but I have to take general ed and a writing seminar. Claude laughs, and something makes a crashing noise.
A writing seminar?
Required. I have to pick one, and there are a lot. What are you doing?
Putting away groceries. Just pick one.
What did you even buy? You don't cook. And I can't just pick one. I have to write about something for a whole semester. It's not going to be something boring.
Fuck you,
Claude says without heat.
I cook more than you do. Send me the list, I'll help you pick one.
Danny switches tabs on his emails and sends the link to Claude. I just emailed it to you. Finish putting away your groceries first.
All the cold stuff is put away.
You're going to have groceries on your counter for months.
They'll be put away by the time you come to visit.
There's a sound of clicking from Claude's laptop.
You were not lying about there being a lot of them.
Of course I wasn't. I still have to pick just one of them. Claude's quiet for a moment, and then he laughs.
You should take this one. Drinking and cultural difference. You could write about drinking all semester.
You're only choosing that because it's on the first page.
No, come on, this sounds great. In some contexts, drinking is condemned, while in others, it is celebrated. The role of drinking in social interactions. How intoxication is exhibited in different societies. You know a lot about drinking.
Not as much as you.
Funny.
Claude deadpans.
It sounds interesting. I'm all the way through the second page, and that one's the best.
Danny clicks through the second page. I could take investment philosophies that would actually be useful.
Boring.
Claude declares.
You're going to take lots of classes like that. You should take something else too, like drinking and cultural difference.
My other general ed classes are going to be something different.
But will they be about drinking?
Danny laughs. Maybe. There might be some kind of literature class about books with a lot of drinking.
Chemistry classes about alcohol,
Claude says.
Do you think there's a whole school where all the classes are about drinking?
I don't know, Danny says.
There should be. $1 million idea, right there.
You don't need another million.
And you don't need to go to school,
Claude says.
These are all really boring.
Danny sighs. I know, and whatever I pick is something I'm going to have to write about for a semester.
Drinking and cultural difference,
Claude says.
It's the best one. What else are you taking besides your business classes?
Architect and history, Danny says. It's supposed to have something about how people's experience is shaped by buildings. When Claude is silent for a very long moment, he adds, it sounded interesting, and it seems like the kind of thing you should think about in business.
If you say so,
Claude says.
It sounds boring to me.
All of this sounds boring to you.
Not drinking and cultural difference.
Danny laughs. You're not going to change your mind about that one, are you?
Nope,
Claude says.
You should take it and tell me how it is.
Danny says, I'm not choosing my classes to amuse you. But he also looks it up in the schedule to see if it will fit with the other classes he's chosen. Summer passes in its usual haze of long days, weeks in Canada, and trips to the shore. About halfway through the summer, when they're headed over to Guylaine's for a last family dinner before they drive back to Haddonfield, Cameron leans forward from the back seat to poke Kaylin's shoulder and says, This is the last time we're going to all be in Canada for the summer. Kaylin says, We could come back next summer. Cameron says, It won't be the same, and settles down. But it sets off a round of last times that lasts the rest of the summer. Danny hosts an end-of-summer going-away party at the end of August. He lets the boys invite all their friends, invites a few of his own, and happily lets Sylvie take over the food. It's a lot like parties they used to throw, only instead of small children shouting and running in and out of the house, it's teenagers, letting the back door slam and laughing as they crowd around someone's phone. Two of them out of the house, Kim says. And it's at least the 20th conversation Danny's had with either her or Eric about Kaylin and Alexis moving away. It's probably not the last. It's still 2 weeks until they move to LA, and there are probably even more details Alexis's parents will want to work out before then. Danny smiles at her and nods and turns away when his phone vibrates in his pocket. Excuse me, he says, even though the display says it's only Claude. I should get this. Of course, she says, with a smile that's just on the verge of being watery. Maybe serving drinks wasn't the best idea for the party. Wouldn't want anyone not to make it because they got lost. Danny keeps smiling and answers as he walks past her into the house. You just saved me from hearing, again, how lucky I am that one of my children will still be living here. Claude laughs.
I'm sure you planned it that way. How's the party?
Good, as long as I stay away from weepy parents. Danny keeps moving, heading up the stairs, so no one is likely to listen in on his conversation.
Sorry, I'm missing it.
You could have come down for it. Danny goes into his room. He knows how sound can echo down the stairs. Claude groans.
I should have. This is the most boring wedding I've ever been to.
Aren't you supposed to be the life of the party? Get on the dance floor, or hit on one of the bridesmaids.
They're all married.
Danny laughs. Hit on one of the groomsmen.
They're all here with someone else.
Danny keeps laughing. And you thought that would be more fun than hanging out with a house full of teenagers?
No,
Claude says.
I thought this would get me a lot less guilt from my mom.
He sighs, and then says, brighter,
It is at a hotel. My room's right upstairs. Won't have phone sex.
No, Danny manages, through bursts of laughter. Not when I have a house full of teenagers and their parents. I have to be the responsible host.
I bet if I was there, I could talk you into a blowjob.
Claude grumbles. No, you couldn't. The sex isn't that good.
Yes, it is. The best sex you've ever had.
I've had better. Danny has to work to keep the smile out of his voice.
You have not.
Claude protests, and then he says,
But you should tell me about it.
Danny laughs. You're not going to trick me into having phone sex with you. I should get back to the party. Claude heaves a sigh.
I'm sorry I didn't come. Tell the boys I said hi.
I will. You know when you're going to get back in town?
Probably the 8th, but I don't know for sure.
Call me when you get in, then he says. We'll get dinner.
Sure,
Claude says.
I know, you're going to be so lonely with the kids out of the house.
Danny hangs up laughing and goes back to the party, just in time for Carson to drag him over to the cake.
Mom won't let us have cake until we take pictures.
Claude says hi, Danny tells the boys as they gather behind the cake. He's sorry he's not here.
I'll bet he is, Cameron says. This is way better than some boring wedding.
Danny laughs, and they get a couple of good pictures of him with the boys, Sylvie with the boys, and he and Sylvie on either side of the boys. Carson makes sure he's first in line for cake, but Cameron hangs back and scrolls through the pictures with Danny.
You should send that one to Claude,
he says of one of the ones where Danny and all three boys are grinning at the camera. Danny sends it with, This is what you're missing. And gets back 3 sad face emojis 30 seconds later. He laughs and shows it to Cameron, who grins at it before he gets pulled away by one of his friends to get cake. Claude gets back in town on the 8th, which means Danny gets home from his 3rd day of classes to find Claude at one end of the couch in the living room and Cameron at the other, both of them looking extremely pleased to be there.
You were supposed to call, Danny says.
Claude grins and gets up to hug him.
This is better.
Claude's filled out a bit, bigger like he always is at the end of the summer of training. It is better than a phone call, and Danny only lets go reluctantly.
Are we going out for dinner or ordering in?
Claude makes a face.
I can't tonight. Heartsea's doing a thing.
He makes a gesture that doesn't clear up anything about that.
You guys have homework anyway. The smirk that accompanies this is crystal clear. Tomorrow?
Cameron shakes his head.
I'm staying over at Jake's.
Chloe shrugs and says,
We're still going, to Danny.
And Kaylin?
Kaylin has a standing Friday night date with Alexis, Danny says. And then, just to hassle him, I could have plans.
You don't have plans, Claude says.
Cameron rolls his eyes and taps Claude's shoulder.
Glad you're back, dude,
he says on his way out of the room.
Homework,
Danny calls after him. Claude squeezes Danny's arm.
I do have to get to Heartsease. But dinner tomorrow, right?
Yes. Danny hugs him again.
Call me and let me know what you want to do.
Claude doesn't call. He lets himself in while Danny is lying on the couch, half watching ESPN and half trying not to fall asleep. Danny props himself up on his elbows.
You were going to call.
Claude puts the plastic bag he's carrying on the floor.
You wanted me to call.
He leans down, one hand on the back of the couch, the other on the cushions, and kisses Danny. Danny slides his hand into Claude's hair. He's let it get long, and kisses back, slow and easy, and just the kind of thing he wants on a Friday night.
I brought dinner, Claude says.
Danny pushes at his shoulders.
Get off me then, so we can eat.
Claude gets up from where he'd all but lain down on top of Danny. Not a bad thought, but maybe after dinner. They sit at the table for dinner, Thai food divvied up between them and chairs close enough that their legs rest against each other.
I guess this means you're not dating anyone,
Danny says.
No.
Claude frowns.
You're not either, are you? I wouldn't have let you kiss me if I were.
Danny steals half a spring roll off of Claude's plate.
How happy were you that the boys couldn't have dinner with us?
Claude shrugs.
What's the point of having busy teenagers if you don't take advantage of it?
Danny laughs and tugs him close enough to kiss.
Dinner, Claude says. I'm not that kind of girl.
Danny laughs again.
You're exactly that kind of girl.
He stops trying to interrupt dinner and lets Claude tell him about training and Ottawa in the summer and what sort of things Heartsea has planned for this season. After dinner, Danny puts their dishes in the dishwasher while Claude writes the date on all the boxes of leftovers with the Sharpie on the counter. A rule they instated after a particularly bad incident involving leftover enchiladas and puts them in the fridge. Then he turns away from the dishwasher to find Claude already in his space. Claude puts his hands on Danny's hips and backs him all the way into the counter. Danny doesn't wait for Claude's next move. He puts his hand in Claude's hair and pulls him down for a kiss. Claude steps in even closer while they kiss, his whole body pressing Danny's into the counter. Danny shifts his feet apart, making more room for Claude so their hips line up. Claude pulls back for a second with the look Danny recognizes on his face.
No, Danny says. We are not having sex in the kitchen.
Why not? Claude nuzzles into Danny's neck, nips at the skin just below his ear.
Cameron's not coming back and Kaylin will be out late.
Danny turns his head to capture Claude's mouth in a real kiss and uses the distraction to push him back.
Upstairs. I have a bed.
I know. I like your bed, but we could... Danny intercepts Claude's hand before Claude can grope him and uses his hold to pull Claude across the kitchen.
We could go upstairs and be comfortable.
Comfort is overrated. Claude lets himself be pulled anyway. Danny wouldn't be able to move him if he didn't go along with it, and twists his hand in Danny's grip, so they're holding hands. He lets go in the bedroom so they can strip off their clothes, which they do in a tangled furry of cloth and limbs when they can't stop touching each other. Claude pushes Danny down onto the bed and crawls over him. He settles over Danny, his whole weight pressing Danny into the bed. Everything slows down while they make out for long minutes, full of nothing more than deep kisses and the steady press of skin on skin.
I won't, Claude says. Yes.
Danny pulls Claude down to kiss him again and again.
Whatever you want.
Claude stretches away from him to get into the nightstand before he starts kissing his way down Danny's body. He stops and licks around each of Danny's nipples, nibbles at the skin covering his ribcage, runs the flat of his tongue across Danny's hip. He takes his time, and Danny is already hard and ready for more than just that when Claude licks a line up the underside of his cock.
Don't stop, Danny says when Claude does just that. Just wait.
Claude snaps open the lube, and a moment later, he touches Danny with slick fingers, just rubbing over him for way too long before he pushes one of them into him. Then he slides his mouth over Danny's cock, taking him in so perfectly that it's a struggle to keep from thrusting into his mouth. Claude keeps sucking him perfectly with heat and slight rasp of his tongue, and he pushes a second finger into Danny. He's not stretching Danny, just keeping the perfect press of his fingers inside of him, finding the place that makes Danny groan. Danny's close, so close that it won't take much more when Claude stops, pulls his mouth all the way off Danny's cock, stills his fingers. By the time Danny can pull himself together enough to protest, Claude is already pressing kisses to the crease of his thigh. He's still not stretching Danny any more than needed to make his fingers already inside him comfortable, but he is avoiding Danny's cock.
Claude!
Claude looks up at him.
Please!
You said I could do what I wanted. Danny pushes his hand into Claude's hair, trying to nudge him back toward his cock.
I thought you were going to do something that was going to get me off.
Claude chuckles into his hip, then bites it gently. I will. He kisses and licks his way back across Danny's skin until he gets to Danny's cock. He breathes on it for just a second, long enough that Danny involuntarily tightens his hand in Claude's hair, then releases it in an apologetic murmur. It can't have hurt too much, because Claude takes Danny's cock in, deeper than before, and finds the perfect rhythm with his fingers. He doesn't stop when Danny gets close this time, and coming is like a crackle of lightning shooting down his spine. Danny pushes Claude away when his mouth becomes too much to bear on his oversensitive cock. Claude puts a steadying hand on Danny's hip when he draws his fingers out, and Danny puts his hand over Claude's to hold it there, grounding himself against a sudden feeling of emptiness. Claude doesn't move away until Danny lets him go. Then he kneels over Danny, squeezes lube onto his hand, and starts stroking his cock.
Do you want me to?
Danny gestures at Claude's cock.
No.
Claude puts his other hand on Danny's chest.
I just want to look at you.
Me. Danny puts his hand on Claude, one at his thigh, one on his forearm where he can feel the flex of muscle as Claude jerks himself off.
Look at you. Look at how you look after a summer of working out.
He really bulked up over the summer, and Danny can feel it even more than he can see it. He squeezes Claude's arm and watches Claude's hand stutter and pick up speed again.
Tell me more.
Claude leans over Danny, close enough for them to kiss, even if it's more like Claude licking into Danny's mouth and Danny just letting him.
Talk dirty to me, baby.
Danny laughs, and they're still so close he catches Claude's bottom lip between his teeth for a moment.
That was terrible.
He rubs his hand up and down Claude's arm, elbow to wrist.
You do look good, and I like your hair like this.
He takes his other hand off Claude's thigh and threads it into his hair. It's a little long, long enough to be soft, without being so long as to descend into chaos.
My hair, Claude says with half a laugh.
He kisses Danny again, lets Danny hold him close. Danny stops moving his hands, just keeps one in Claude's hair and the other still just above his wrist until Claude comes all over Danny's stomach. Claude breathes harshly against Danny's cheek for a couple of seconds before he flops over onto the bed next to him. How is this not the hottest sex you've ever had? It takes Danny a moment before he can place the conversation, and then he snorts. Are you upset about that? That was some pretty awesome sex. I think it deserves a place in the best. Top 20, Danny concedes. Top 20? Claude grumbles. Top 10. I'm older, Danny says. I've had more sex than you. You were married. I thought married sex was supposed to be boring. Danny shoves at Claude's shoulder. I'm not telling you about my sex life with Sylvie. I can't decide, Claude says after a moment, if that's a good thing or a bad thing. He kisses Danny's cheek and gets out of bed. Danny closes his eyes and stays where he is while he listens to the water in the bathroom come on. He opens them again at the wet smack of a washcloth landing on his chest. You're not going to do it for me? Danny half-heartedly cleans himself up, enough that he can sleep comfortably. This is dropping to top 30. Claude laughs and takes the washcloth back to the bathroom. You already said top 20, you can't take it back now. He lies down next to Danny, shoulder and arm pressed to Danny's. I missed you. Danny chuckles. You sound surprised? We usually don't see each other much during the summer, Claude says with a shrug Danny can feel against his shoulder. I don't usually miss you. You're getting older. I'm not that old. Claude nudges Danny with an elbow. Did you miss me? Danny nudges him back. I missed the sex. Claude huffs. Even though it's only top 20? Danny shrugs. I'm not having sex with anyone else. I miss it. Claude pats Danny's thigh. I'm going to make it to top 10. Danny laughs. That might have to wait until next summer. Neither of us is going to have time for that. I get days off. How busy is school going to keep you? Very. I have class every day and tons of homework. Danny scrubs his hands over his face. I understand how the boys feel now. Claude props himself up and looks down at Danny for a moment before he lies down again. You love it. You were bored, and you like working hard. It's true, and while Danny still feels out of practice when it comes to the whole school part of it, he knows it's going to be familiar soon enough. I don't hate it. You love it, Claude says again. How are your classes? Good. Mostly intro stuff, but good. The writing seminar is hard. Danny elbows Claude. And writing about drinking isn't as fun as it sounds. Claude laughs. You actually picked that one. Yes. Danny elbows him again. And you're going to help me talk out some of my essays? No way. I didn't sign up for more school. It was your idea. You're going to help. I'm going to be busy, Claude says, playing a full season of hockey. If you have enough time to try and make it into my top 10 of sex, you have enough time to talk about my essays. Claude sighs. I was going to make time for sex. No sex without helping with my work. I'll come run drills with you. Claude's silent for a moment, and then he says, I thought you weren't going to tell me about your married life. Danny bursts into laughter. Come on, Claude says, and Danny can hear the grin in his voice. Trading chores for sex, that's definitely a married people trick. I like to think of it as rewarding you for good behavior, Danny says, like you do when training dogs. There's a moment where he has to wait for Claude's reaction, but then Claude starts laughing, and Danny barely stopped for the conversation. I did miss you, Danny says. Good, Claude says. Have you been making friends so you're not lonely? Danny pokes Claude in the side.
I have friends who aren't you. Uh-huh. Are you making friends with the kids in your classes? It's been only 4 days. Claude nudges him. You always knew who was going to make it 4 days into training camp. It's not exactly the same thing. Predictions, Briere. Who's going to make it? Who are the captains? It's a business school. They're all captains. Danny pats the easiest patch of Claude's skin to reach. My management class small group meets on Monday. I might know more about them after that. I expect a full report. Sure. Danny sits up. I should take the dogs out. Claude sits up and puts a restraining hand on Danny's shoulder. I'll do it. He gets out of bed and stretches. It's a good look for him. Your ass looks great. Claude turns his head and smirks over his shoulder as he bends over to get to his pants.